want to thank you for being with us this morning. We come into the Christmas week here and trust that the Lord is blessing you and strengthening you and being with you. You're enjoying the presence of our Lord in this time and season. And one of the things that we struggle with often is life and different things that are thrown at us. And sometimes just keeping our eyes upon where they need to be. We're surrounded with a lot of materialism and different things that would distract us. And so we've had a series for the last 3 weeks about the value of the gift that was given to us on Christmas Day. And so we want to continue with that. The past 3 weeks we've looked at the idea of what'd you get for Christmas. Well, we got a whole lot. The scriptures tell us that we were given new life in Jesus Christ. And that new life is through rebirth or through regeneration, that the Lord Jesus died on the cross on our behalf. And we spoke about the new birth that and the new life that is given through Christ. And then last week we spoke about our new identity in Christ, and that is the growth truths, the birth truths, and there's a lot of things that are involved with that. There's many wonderful facets of that gift, and there are facets of that gift that play over into our growth as believers as well. So there's this process of being born again and then growing spiritually to a mature stature after the image of Jesus Christ. And we've talked about that the last couple of weeks. This morning, what we want to look at is our new disposition that we have in Christ Jesus. And this basically continues with the growth truths. And it has with it the idea that through faith, as we receive Christ Jesus, so we walk in Him. There's a continuation of the life of dependence or faith that we initially came to know when we put our trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation from our sins, so that, and He has declared these certain truths that we looked at last week in our new identity that are true about us. We've been crucified with Christ. We've been raised up to walk in newness of life with Him. We've been seated, the Scripture says, in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. That's our new position. That's how God sees you as being in Christ Jesus at this point. And then today we're looking at what the recognition or the realization of walking daily in light of that truth that God has given to us a new disposition. Now, a new disposition simply means this. It means a new heavenly reference, a new habitual frame of mind or frame of reference that is filtered through God's Word, filtered through the Scripture. And so when we talk about a new disposition, God has given to His people in the value of what we celebrate for Christmas, the gift that God has given to us is a new disposition whereby we look to Christ. Now, the Scripture says, and if you would, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I would like to read the first four verses there. It says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, this is in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1. I'll read from verses 1 through 4, and you can follow along. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So this morning we want to consider what it is to be in Christ, our new identity, and the disposition that we should take, because what we see in Colossians 1 through 3, chapters 1 through 3 here, is Paul laying out our new position in Christ, what it meant to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. And then in chapter 3, he gets down to some very practical applications to the truth that he taught in the first three chapters. And so when we look at verse 4, if you'll just take a glance at verse 4 there, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him. And with our new identity and with a new disposition in life, we will not be recognized. Just as Jesus was often persecuted and went to the cross, and he said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. We are not recognized as being children of God at this point. But the Scripture tells us that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when he returns, then we will be revealed with him. Our position as children of God, as the adopted offspring that God has taken in and grafted in through his covenant, we will be revealed to be children of God. And so that time, our identity is may not be known, but the point is here that God has equipped his chosen to do what others cannot. And I was thinking of an illustration that was given about a great violinist, and he was traveling to another country. And on his way, they had a stop and they had a delay, and he actually went through the little town. He left, went through this little town, and went into a music shop there, and he was carrying his violin with him. And the owner of the music shop happened to see and notice that his violin was this great violinist violin, didn't recognize him. And it just so happened that he had left without his passport, and so the shop owner said, would you hold on right here just a moment? And he slipped out the back and got the police. And the police came into the store, and he said, you're not, and John, you can maybe help me with his name, Fred Chrysler. Is that how you pronounce it? Fritz, okay. Yeah, well, they said, you're not Fritz Chrysler. And he said, well, yes, I am. And they asked for proof of his identification, and he did not have his passport with him. And so as he argued with the authorities there in this little town, he said, would you hand me my violin? And he began to play. And the point was that once they heard him play, they recognized that his identity through what he had been gifted for, what he had trained for. And that's the way it is and should be with us in the Christian life. As we take a new disposition, there's a transformation that takes place in our life. And here's the truth, the principle in Scripture. God has given to you in his and in your identity in Jesus Christ, he has specifically and perfectly gifted you for the things that he designed in eternity past for you. So when you take your new disposition, you're simply embracing the reality and the truth that has been declared in Scripture that God has an identity for me. He has an eternity past planned certain things for me. And the Scripture says, remember, the Scripture teaches that there are not many wise, there are not many mighty that he has called. But he has chosen the weak things. He has chosen the foolish ones to carry forth his will. So you may not be identified, is the point. But know this. Your new disposition should lay hold of your new identity in Christ in such a way that you are constantly on the mission that God has given to you to fulfill his plan and his purposes for your life. And as you embrace those through his word and through the reality of who you are in Christ, There is a transformation that takes place that only you can fulfill. Because God has specifically designed you. He knew every single aspect and facet of everything that will happen in your life. And in the ordaining of those things, He has planned to strengthen you and to gift you in such a way that you're the only one that can fulfill that purpose that God created you for. And you have an identity in Jesus Christ that we enjoy. So let's look at our notes here. We are given a heavenly disposition that is based on our position in Jesus Christ. And when we have this heavenly disposition, and there's a transforming aspect or truth of that and reality to it, that our lives actually begin to transform into the image of Him who created us and to whom the God that created us after His image. And positionally, He has placed us there in Christ. By faith, as we embrace that, then we know and realize the reality of those things. I know that we have already considered our position in weeks past in Christ, but what we want to look at this morning in particular is this idea of faith, by faith, fixing our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, fixing our mind upon the eternal and heavenly things that He has set before us in His Word, and knowing His purpose for our lives. And so we lack nothing of what is needed and provided along with our new identity in Christ. He has given to us a new disposition, a new frame of looking at things, a heavenly perspective that other people don't have. So that in times even of distress or hardship or persecution, just as Christ suffered such things, then we have this fixed hope and vision of God's purposes, knowing that His promises being true, that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes, most certainly will unfold. In the end game, God has not forgotten anything. He has not forgotten a thing. So let's look then and consider our heavenly disposition. Is the gift of, first of all, a new position in Christ. And let's look at those first verses again. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking. And the idea here is this: keep continually seeking of those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There, the Scripture says, in heavenly places, all heavenly blessings have been given to us as God's people, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so Paul is teaching these believers that if you'll keep your eyes on those things will enable you, they will quicken you, they will provide for you what is necessary as you walk in your heavenly disposition. You're looking in relation to this. Maybe what I'm experiencing, this may be the way that things seem, but what God has said in His Word is true, and I'm making a distinct choice to believe what God's Word has said. Okay? For instance, what we just talked about. There are times when it does not seem like all things are working together for good to those of you who love Christ and are called according to His purposes. But there's a lofty view when we set our mind on Christ, where He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and there realizing that in the frame of all of these things that are unfolding, God has at the end of that something very special for His people. And so that gives us hope. It gives us strength. And so we're to keep seeking the things above. We're to set our sight on those things which are eternal, not those things which are by or down here and are passing away and are temporal, but a mind for that which is eternal. And it goes on to say, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. So there's a contrast here between the seen, the physical, the temporal, and that which is eternal, that which is unseen, that which will not pass away. So God has given to us, the Apostle Paul is instructing us, that we're to have a heavenly disposition. And there's a transformation in our lives as God's people when these things take place. For you have died. Now, this is our position, right? You have died. When Christ died, you died with Him. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Isn't it great? I stand here in this pulpit this morning, despite the fact that I'm a very sinful person, and far, there's a gulf of distance between the perfections of Jesus Christ and His attributes and His character and His person. But I have come to know Him and love Him. And the wonderful thing is that in His provision that I'm able to stand here before you this morning because of the righteousness that Jesus Christ has and has given to me, then I stand before God's people as righteous. He sees me as being in Christ Jesus in such a way that I'm given His righteousness. And that's my position. That's the freedom that I have as God's children. And each one of you have. You're here this morning in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're here. You see, here's the deal, is if we keep our focus on these things, the value of the gospel is never lost to us. It's never lost. We're constantly, and even more constantly, being aware that in the framework of my sinfulness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the wonderful gift that is. And we'll understand the value of that gift with that disposition that God desires for us to have when we embrace that in all of its fullness. And so the Scripture teaches us that our life is hidden with Christ in God. He sees you as already being there, as having died. So your sin, for the wages of your sin was what? Death. It was death. It is dead in Jesus Christ. The wage has been paid, and He sees you as in all of your sin, past, present, and future sins are there, dead in Jesus Christ, and that He has raised up. And the Scripture says in Romans, we looked at last week, that you were raised up to what? Walk in newness of what? Life. Life. He's given to us the gift of life, and we're to walk in newness of life. And not only that, but we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He sees you as so identified with Jesus that you're already seated there with Him. Right there in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm in a heavenly place. Man, you don't know the bills that I have for Christmas. And that's our experience here. But this is what God's Word says about us. Right? So if we're heavenly minded, if we're keeping our sight, our focus upon those things, if we're aware of that truth and our position in Jesus Christ, then we have a heavenly disposition to celebrate the Christmas season. And there should be joy upon our faces this Christmas season and all Christmas season and beyond, right? That's the wonder and the beauty of God's gift. Let's look at our notes there again. Our heavenly disposition is the gift of then a new position in Christ. Okay? Our new position has given to us a new disposition on what life is all about, on the importance of God's agenda for us, for what we've been created for. Until we embrace that, we're just kind of wandering around through life. And life is really pretty much meaningless because we, as the master of our own soul and the captain of our own destiny, are trying to do our own thing, which will never work. And so in subordination to the purposes and plan of God and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in our new position in Christ, with a new disposition, we're able to embrace what God has called us to and the fullness of who we really are. Now, I don't know how much you value that, but I know how much we should value that truth. We should value it. It means everything. Everything else is nothing compared to it. Absolutely nothing compared to that one truth. I mean, this is what propels us through life. It's what makes the difference between when we die, when we go to eternity, what will matter then. And believe me, think about it. It matters. It matters. So we have a new position in Christ. And then we also have our heavenly disposition as being the gift of faith that God gives to us. Now, I don't want to go into the question of faith. It, just believe me, faith is a gift that God gives to us. Okay? Faith is, He enables us to trust in Him. We're so helpless, we're like little sheep. But God gives you trust and confidence and dependence upon Him. His Spirit works that reality in our lives. And so what does that tell us? That tells me that I want to ask Him for it. If it's His power, if that's His work within me, then I don't want to try to fabricate it and muster it up each week. I want to ask my loving Heavenly Father to grant me faith. Grant me dependence upon Him. The Scripture tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That tells me that, you know, again, it's going to be difficult for me to fabricate faith. God made it that way because what we fabricate, we usually mess up. Okay? So God wants for us, in dependence upon Him, to know His working power within us. And faith enables us, it assures us of those things that are hoped for. What does that mean? Things that we do not physically see. They're not so tangible for us in the physical realm here. God has quickened us, and it's the assurance of those things which God has declared to be true. Do you know why that happens? Because we believe that God is faithful and true to His Word. Okay? So we have assurance of those things which are hoped for and the conviction toward those things which are not seen. God has given to us in the heavenly disposition the gift of faith. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The gift of faith. I can remember on Christmas I received, when I was somewhere in my early teenage years, I was a junior high age kid, I think. I got a drum set for Christmas, and man, that was really nice. But I, you know, thinking back and just remembering, and I remember that I thought about it and remembered some of it at the time. But my brother was attending University of Texas at that time and just gone off to college. And my parents, I know that they had a lot of financial pressures. I mean, it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy Christmas. You know, I wasn't so much aware of the fullness of the sacrifice that they made and the stresses that were on. I remember during that time, I can remember things like this. My dad at that time, was contract pumping, and he drove over 400 miles a day. Okay, so think about that. That's a day's work in itself, but he was making around these leases. It wasn't an easy time for them. But you know what? As a child, there was still, I'm sorry for you that are teenagers and everything, but still as a child, my parents were taking care of those things. And they made a sacrificial gift. And I had a brand new shiny drum set there, and I was excited and that type of thing. But the Lord wants us to trust in His provision. Just as I was unaware of some of the stresses and sacrifices, God is sufficient. He never stresses. He is never pushed or stressed for provision for His family. And But I remember being very relaxed with that gift. And as a child, enjoying by faith what my parents had provided as a gift. And there's a thing that God wants us to understand, a disposition, if you will, that He would have His children to take. And that is, as to faith, we're to be as children, trusting, always looking for His provision in everything that is needed. For He is the God of all comfort, the one who is able to provide, the one who is able to sufficiently provide for the things that we need, the things that are necessary for us. And so as to faith, we're to be as children always. And really, it's a decision, isn't it? So some of you are expressing or experiencing those stresses from Christmas and that type of thing. But you can make a decision, can't you, as whether you're as God's child to rest in the Lord and to enjoy the pleasure of His goodness and His provision, His care for you. It may look scary out there and things uncertain, but there's a trust that we can place in our Heavenly Father, isn't there? Don't we need that? Don't we need that disposition, that frame of mind to rest in God always? But now's the time. Now's the time to exercise these kind of truths from God's Word, to lay hold of it, and for it to be more than just things that we hear, but that which we lay hold of and embrace and know in fullness, because this is what demonstrates the glory of God and the people of God. He wants you to be as faith, like little children, trusting in Him, regardless of what has come your way, trusting in Him, waiting upon Him, looking to Him, finding in Him the strength and the provision that He alone is Heavenly Father. But let me say this, as to knowledge, God wants you to grow up. He wants you to be mature, doesn't He? As to faith, be as little children, enjoy being as little children. But as to knowledge and as to the truth, these truths in God's Word, mature in them, grow up. Learn to embrace them and hold on to them and to know the reality of them in every situation in life. It's a decision that we make. And we either choose to or we choose not to. But God has made the provision. It's all there in our heavenly bank account. All things that pertain to life and godliness. There's nothing that He has left out for you. Nothing. And so by faith we can embrace it. In knowledge, we mature and grow in the exercise of it, and we can know the fullness of the gift. So my prayer is, as I was praying through these series and this time at Christmas, was that we would grow in this kind of maturity so that it moves past Christmas. And maybe this Christmas we experience the joy and the peace and the pleasure of knowing Christ came and all of those things, and having our family about us and everything's at rest. But the reality is that God wants us to experience that every day. And the reality is that the truth of the gospel is that we often hold it as common. Isn't that a tragedy? And it happens because we go through, we speak about the gospel so much. And you think, well, oh yeah, Christ died for my sins. I know, yeah, Christ died for my sins. And, you know, you can go on and you can march through the basic points of the gospel. Yeah, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No, we can't allow ourselves to do those things. And so, I mean, this is a good time for us just to reflect on what the incarnation was all about and the fullness of what it means, and not allow ourselves to be shallow, but to delve into the depths, into the maturity that Christ wants us to move on to as His people, and to think about it a little deeper. You know, Christmas time ought to be a time where we're thinking about the gift, and we refuse by faith and by God's grace working in us, we refuse to let it be common. We refuse to allow the gospel to just be one of those things that we talk about each week. Don't allow that message, the truth, the light of the gospel, to grow dim like that. I love the little picture of the kids up here this morning with little candles on their heads. And that's what you are. You're a light unto the world. And you shine in reality of these truths with this disposition on Christmas, with this disposition daily as we walk through life. So God has given to us these wonderful things. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "Those that wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Isaiah 40, 31. So that's the third point there in your notes there. God, in our heavenly disposition, has given us the gift of a lofty view of life. I love that picture that Isaiah draws. Isn't it a wonderful and an amazing thing that we really can mount up with wings like eagles? And you know, when I think of an eagle, I see him way up there, and he's got this perspective on the world. He's able to filter it, and man, he can pierce and see a long way, distinct things, but he's got a big view. And for believers, God has given to us in our new disposition a lofty view of life. We can rise above the things on this earth. We can soar like the eagle through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, looking at life through the lens of what God has intended for us in eternity past. And we can face that cup that God has given to us. As Jesus Christ said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." This is the cup that the Father has given to me. Even in difficult times, with the eagle's view, Christ looked on past the shame of the cross to the glory that was set before him. And that's what God wants from his people, a lofty view of life. And he's given it to each one of us. It's simply a matter of believing his word and embracing what he has said. That's the truth. That's the truth of his word. It's the glory that God has spoken. Let's look at our notes again. We are given not only a heavenly disposition, and that is positionally. I don't know if I gave that to you clearly in point one. We're given a heavenly disposition. That's positionally. We're given that. And then point two, we're given a renewed disposition, and that is experientially. We're given a renewed disposition experientially. And that renewed disposition is to the image of God. You remember all the way back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created, and when he created man, he said, "Let us make man in our own image." It was God's intention that we were to be a reflection of his glory. That's what you are. That's what you're called to. Man, don't let it slide by. Embrace the reality and the beauty of what that means. It is God's intention for you to be created in his image. You're to reflect his glory, just like those little lights up there that we saw, those little candles. There's to be a reflection of the glory and the truth of God in our lives. So we're given a renewed disposition experientially. The wonder of it is daily we're growing in that, growing in a maturity of the image of Christ in us through his Holy Spirit, his working there. So our renewed disposition is established upon our spiritual rebirth. Okay, there in your notes. And it's upon true knowledge or truth. Truth as it's reflected through God's people, as lights in the world, and as the image of Christ is seen through his people. That's what Christ left us here. I'm the vine, you're the branches, you're the physical manifestation of the glory of God. That's his plan. And then thirdly there in your notes, our renewed disposition is established that we might attain to the image of our Creator. And drop down to verse 9 in chapter 3 there of Colossians. If you haven't left there, I hope you held on to your place. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. And there he's talking about the fact that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, that we've died with him. And he says, do not lie to one another. He's saying, put aside those things, or the old man. Put aside the things that are characteristic of our old nature. So I died. I can you say that? I died, okay, with Christ. I'm gone. And all of these things, like anger and malice, the things that he mentions there in verses 5 through 8, he's saying to put aside. And in verse 9, he says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. So the evil practices are set aside, and you have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So you were reborn, and in your rebirth, you're so identified with Christ that you died with him. And so Paul is saying, let all this stuff go. The anger, the malice, the wrath, the hatred, and all of the sin that goes with the flesh. He's saying, put it aside and put on the new self that is being renewed to a true knowledge. So we're renewed to a true knowledge. That's where I got that point in your notes that I just gave you. Our renewed disposition is established upon a true knowledge, upon truth, the truth of the gospel, the reality of what God has done in his people, and that we might attain to the image of our Creator. Look at that verse again in verse 10. According to the image of the one who created him. So God, now this is not, this doesn't mean that we all look the same physically, does it? So what is he talking about? That we're created in the image of God. That means that we're reflecting those things that would reflect the beauty and glory of God. And look at verse 11 there. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman. But Christ is all and in all. Isn't that something? Christ is in you. And look what it says in verse 12. Okay? And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, and we have a long list here, kindness, let's read them together, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Well, that's a long list, isn't it? Well, let's go to your notes there. Our renewed disposition is described in these verses. What it means to be renewed in the image of God. You might have asked the question, well, what does it mean? What does it look like to have true knowledge and that true knowledge of the gospel to be renewed into the image of God? That's what Christ did when he redeemed us. It was his intention that what was spoken in Genesis, that let us make man in our own image, would be attained through the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we were redeemed and brought back to him, the image of God is reflected. And what is that image? Well, it says the list there in verse 12. Our renewed disposition is described as a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. Okay? Now, I got up this morning and I went into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. And you know, when you look in the mirror, you like, I notice that my forehead's a lot bigger these days. So, but you look, and as you see the image there, you realize, hey, this hair needs to go over here like this, and you make adjustment. Okay, you make these adjustments, and so it's kind of like that. When we see Jesus Christ, and we see and we meditate upon him, and we spend time with the Lord Jesus, then we see, hey, Jesus is, there's compassion there. And so spiritually, in our spiritual person, we're like looking in that mirror and we see this reflection of Jesus and we begin to, hey, I need compassion here. That's the image of Christ. It's the image of Him that is to be reflected through us. And as we look at Christ, then we begin to make these adjustments. We begin to make those changes. And if you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 4, and right at the very end of chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 18, we'll go there because we want to look at the fact that we're given a glorious disposition eternally. Okay? Eternally, God has given to us not only a renewed disposition, not only a heavenly disposition, but we're given a glorious disposition, a framework for looking at things. And that glorious disposition comes through this process. Please learn this truth. Lay hold of it and think about it. Because when we see Jesus Christ, when we spend time with Him, when we're in His presence, there's a transformation that takes place in our lives. That is intended. That's what God intends for you. He has intended that transformation, that you would reflect the glory of His Son, that we would become more like Him. Look at chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit. So what does that mean? That's pretty wild. Okay, so Paul is saying, look, this is what we're talking about here. We, with unveiled faces, and that's a past participle, so it means that like Moses came down from the mountain and he had been in the presence of God there on Mount Sinai, and his face was lit up. And it was lit up because he had been in the presence of God, and his countenance reflected the glory of God, and so they put a veil on his face. But Paul is saying that we're taking that veil off. And behind the veil, our face is beholding as in a mirror. It's just one word. But it's interesting because it's a present participle that is connected with, and we are being transformed. That means that we're continuously, progressively being transformed. The idea of that present tense verb. But with the beholding in the mirror, that participle that goes and that connects to that verb, it means that while we're beholding in the mirror, in other words, while we're in the presence of Jesus Christ, you see, while I'm not talking about going through motions here, and I'm not talking about what it is to academically read the Scripture, but I'm talking about when we sit down with God's Word and we read it, and we're there in the presence of Christ, as we're beholding Him, in the present sense of beholding Christ, we are being transformed. That's a beautiful verse. That is a remarkable thing that God has given to you. That's a wonderful gift for Christmas. That's a new disposition. That's life. That's where light comes from. And we can play church. We can sit on the pews. We can be whatever level of Christian we choose to be. But the provision is there. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And whether you and I choose to dwell in the presence of Christ, whether we choose to behold as in a mirror the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis is something that each one of us will have to decide the value of and make a decision for. But it's there, and it's available for God's people. It's the free gift of eternal life and salvation in Jesus Christ. And we can know it or not. But don't fake your way through life. You know the fullness that Christ has given to you as His child. Know a full Christmas. Know the fullness of His gift and blessing that He has given to His people. Because as you know it, you're being transformed. And when you come down from the mountain, when you come down from being in the presence of Jesus Christ, it's going to reflect through you. And that's what Jesus wants from you. That's what He has planned for you. That was His intention, was that you might reflect the power and the glory and the grace of God in your daily life and walk. That's what real Christianity is. That's what God intends for His people. And I hope that we long for it. You know, it's like asking for that. I remember asking for that drum set for Christmas. Well, man, we can ask God, come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, we can ask Him, our Heavenly Father, for such things. And my thinking is that as a loving Heavenly Father, He's not going to withhold much from you. He's not going to say no when you're asking for these kind of things. And when you're taking that time, not to spend on this or that or one thing or another, but in His presence. You know, I mean, we can study God's Word and do it in the energy of the flesh. Or we can sit down to God's Word and say, God, meet with me here. Lord, fill me with these things that our promises from Your Word, that by faith I might have a new disposition. I can't fabricate that. You can't either, can we? But what we can do is ask as a little child, our Heavenly Father, for these things. And my thinking is that He's not going to withhold these gifts from His children. So let's look here in your notes. Our glorious disposition then transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ as we what? Behold Him. Behold Him as in a mirror. You know, straighten up that hair. Brush your teeth. Compassion. Compassion here. Humility here. Our inner person is putting on the image of Christ by faith. There's an acquisition of what God has already accomplished, what He has already acquired and already taken for us in Christ Jesus. It's a new disposition of taking from that heavenly bank account what's needed for the day in preparation before the mirror in the presence of Jesus Christ. We can know His fullness. Drop down to chapter 4, verse 4. Or verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Man, we got to think about these things. You know, the gospel can become common to us, or we can reflect on the depth and the beauty and the light of the truth of the gospel. He's given to us the light. Don't walk in darkness. By faith, embrace what He has given to you from His Word. Look at verse 6. For God, who has said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, or the face of Christ. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. So let's look there in your notes there again. Our glorious disposition is given in light of the gospel. There's no light outside of it. There's no light apart from it. There's nothing that you can fabricate that is going to add to it. There's nothing that can be done by the energy of man, by the determination of your will, by the strength of your might that can accomplish what God has accomplished for you through the gospel. And it is a choice as to whether we enjoy the light of the gospel and the truth. And then in verses 6 and 7, our glorious disposition, there we looked at those, is given to us by God. Notice what it says. Go back to that verse. It says, the one who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the gospel. It's going to be a gift to you if you attain it. It's not something that you can fabricate, not something you can work up. And then also in your notes, it is always possessed by God. It is God that owns it. He possesses the truth. It's not apart from Him in any way. It's not something that we can find apart from a relationship with Him. And it is always controlled by God. There are your notes again. It is given by God. It is always possessed by God. And it is controlled by God. And let me close just with verses 16 through 18. It says, therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. What does that mean? As we're in the presence of Christ, as we behold the reflection of His holiness, His perfections of character, as we see His compassion and we begin to, pervade our lives, and His compassion begins to enable us as we look out toward others, and it begins to work in us and through us. And there's a change that takes place, and we're being renewed into the image of Jesus Christ day by day. Look at verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. There's nothing that you can compare with this gift. This gift is beyond anything that we can imagine or conceive of, and yet God has given us a vision in the light of the gospel, a view of what He has intended for His children. And so verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now in your notes there, it is an eternal weight of glory. It is not our glorious disposition is not a look at the seen things or physical things, which are temporal, in your notes, but it's a look at the unseen things which are described in Scripture as that which is eternal. God has granted to us such things. It is to the praise of the glory of His grace that He has saved you and brought you to life in Jesus Christ and to be accepted in the Beloved. And that means to be accepted in God's family. Just in closing, let me again encourage you that the description of what it means to be renewed into the image of Christ is to take on some of these characteristics. So maybe you'll want to go back to Colossians chapter 3 this week and look at that, being renewed into the new person, the new man, toward compassion, toward kindness, toward humility, learning to forgive one another, and such things as characterize and should be characteristic of our Lord, reflected through the Lord's people. And so we can maintain the value and the reality of this gift that we have received on that first Christmas morning, the gift of the gospel which has been given. We can know it on a daily basis, and we do that by standing before the mirror, by standing in the Lord's presence and going there often. You can't substitute other things for it. You can't substitute service for the Lord for time with Him. You can't substitute church for time with Him. It needs to be a personal thing. And all of these things should be embraced within it. But right in the center of it is the reflection, the continual reflection upon the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal and intimate relationship. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word and for the wonderful gift that we have been given for Christmas. And Lord, we pray that in Your great mercies that we might know all of the fullness that You have given in the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we rise up, may we look at things with an eagle's view, standing over that which is temporal and that which is seen, to look beyond, to see the unseen, the eternal, and embrace those things for the glory of Jesus Christ. We pray and ask in His name. Amen.